prizes, fun, trivia, special guests, and you. Yes, it's the return of Theater Geeks Live to the Bristol Opera House, featuring everyone's favorite theater trivia game show, I Know, I Know.
No, I don't know. Anyway.
Join the geeks, John, Dave, and Marcia, along with Quizmaster Rick Ellis and MC Kevin Nagelsky, live at the Bristol Opera House, Saturday, November 9th at 10 a.m. $10 admission includes your breakfast, followed by a three-episode taping of Theater Geeks, including our game show, where you just might win one of several fabulous prizes, or at least something funky out of the Opera House basement.
Oh my God, my mind just went totally blank.
Mark the date, November 9th, for Theater Geeks Live at the Bristol Opera House, Bristol, Indiana. All proceeds benefit Elkhart Civic Theater. Call 574-848-4116 weekday afternoons for tickets, or check elkhartcivictheater.org for details. Theater Geeks Live, November 9th, 10 a.m. at the Bristol Opera House. Don't miss it.
This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no e's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
John is smiling enigmatically.
Oh, I'm just...
That's my word for the day.
Enigmatically. Yes.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the show about community theater and the performing arts. And we have had enough coffee this morning, finally, that I think we're going to be a little bit perkier. I don't know, maybe not. But
perky, I've been perky.
It's been perky.
You
there
can never
go.
Be too perky.
Never be too perky, that's true. And it's very good to be perky, because what we're going to do now is we're going to have another installment of Audience Smackdown.
Oh yeah,
and
there should be a sound effect there.
There should be
there
a
should
sound
be.
Effect.
We'll
audience
put it
Smackdown.
In later.
How about this? Like that.
That I probably have no idea what
sound.
It sounds.
That
like.
That probably yet. Made a really a terrible sound in the. Yeah.
I'm sure
program.
It did.
Audience Smackdown is our attempt, feeble as it may be, to correct bad behavior on the part of theater audiences.
Oh.
And so we tend to bring up certain pet peeves that we all have about the way our fellow audience members act, and how our audiences and how actors respond to the way audiences behave badly, too. So there's sort of like two halves to this. But, Marcia, you were bringing up one earlier about when you're sitting at the end of the row.
Oh, yes. And I understand, coming for the first act, you usually think you have plenty of time because you have to – they won't raise the curtain until the director's or the executives of the theater make their announcements, which sometimes can go on ad infinitum.
I'm sure that's another of her pet peeves.
There we go.
It is. And that they think that since all the stuff that they're talking about can be read in the program, they're assuming that their audience can't read, which I think is a little insulting. Anyway, that's not my pet peeve from sitting on the end of the row when the second act is about to start. And most of the people have paid attention to the flashing lights or the ringing of the gong or whatever signifies get your butt in your seat because we're going to start.
Right.
And the curtain opens and the lights come up and the action starts. And then at different intervals, at least 8 people come into our row, which means we have to jump up and down and up and down and miss what's going on. Why can't they get back in time?
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, at the beginning of the show. I mean, yes, you're right. And you're talking about like after intermission is really
yes,
especially
yes.
weird. You would think, you know, lights are flashing, everything's happening,
right?
And so now part of that can be alleviated if your crew and your stage manager and your lighting person, et cetera, are communicating with each other so that they know, like, if there's a line at the bathroom, so they aren't going to really – they're not
right.
going to start on time. But sometimes people – it isn't evident that there's anything particularly wrong because maybe people are outside having a smoke or something like that. You're
but
not
15
fully aware.
Minutes should be long enough to smoke a cigarette. I remember from back when.
That's right. You know. It should be long enough, and you shouldn't have other things to do. Now, if you've gone to the bar down the street, I say you've given your seat up, but – That's my idea.
I think that's correct.
That's true.
I think that's correct.
But we do have audience.
And then at intermission, undoubtedly, 90% of any given audience has turned on their cell phones again to make sure mm-hmm. that the dog is all right or that daughter hasn't run off with the mailman or something. You know, their children are still alive. And don't turn it off. They don't turn it off again. So mm-hmm. you sit down and action starts. And all of a sudden, as happened to me last week, somebody right behind me, their cell phone went off and it sounded like an old fashioned telephone bell. I mean, loud mm-hmm. and clangy. Right. And of course, you know, everybody whipped around and looked at this person. But when it's in your pocket, you have to stay. Yes. Yeah. You have to stand. They have to stand up and look for it and then silence it. And it's just so bad. I don't know why people can't remember to keep those things turned off.
Have really sort of taken us to a new level of hell.
It's awful.
In audiences sometimes. And we talked to IRT, the director at the IRT recently, mm-hmm. who said that this is the Indianapolis Repertory Theater in Indianapolis, obviously, that said they're having they're going to add tweet seats now so that people can actually
sit up in the balcony
but they'll be at the back, which is where you would want to have that.
Right.
But the use of cell phones in terms of people just feel it's their right. You're right. And it's a problem, especially in a small theater where the light from a cell phone screen can really light up the world. And you don't think it can, but it can.
Oh, yes.
I think it's important to leave your phone in the car. Just leave your phone in the car.
You know, 10 years ago, we didn't even have these things.
No.
So if the message was that urgent.
Are you against progress? Is that your problem?
Yes, I am, actually. Definitely.
Yeah.
Because progress is turning about some really rude people.
That's true. Well, and the use of – yeah, the other thing about the use of the cell phone, too, is now photography, which not only can be annoying to people, it's not even legal. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago about taking photos of performances. You're not supposed to do it at all.
No.
And yet people feel they have a right to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This lady right next to us was obviously, she had her cell phone up and raised over the heads of the people in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on video, you know. And Sandy had the guts to turn to her and say, "Ma'am, you're not supposed to do that. That's illegal."
Yeah.
Well, she was just doing it for the father of one of the actors who couldn't be there on opening night. And I said, "Oh, well, isn't he coming at all?" "Oh, yeah, he'll be here on Saturday." I said, "Well," Sandy says, "well, why don't you just let it be a surprise to him then and put your cell phone away?" And she did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you shouldn't have to be told.
No, because they make the announcements and that kind of thing, too. So it's true. Do we have a problem with people talking during performances at all anymore?
Yeah. I mean, we still do.
Because I know because you see it at movie theaters now.
That's why I don't go to the movies.
Well, because people think the movie is TV and they can – and it's
exactly.
Talk right back to it. Yeah.
They get kind of a weird attitude about it. And I wonder if that happens at the theater very much. Are you noticing
it? Well, I mean – I don't have a problem if I know sometimes
don't
something
say.
Well, something will touch you in such a way where you might make a guttural expression, and I
like ugh,
yeah, or like oh, or you know, it's like because and it hits you that way, and that's one thing. But there are actually people who want to sit in the auditorium and have a conversation, and I'm not even talking about people who are hard of hearing and couldn't hear what was going on stage because they didn't ask for one of our assisted listening devices. I'm talking about people who think that it's just okay, like they're having a cup of coffee at a coffee shop, to continue their conversation. It usually happens at the top of an act.
Mm-hmm.
Or the top of a scene.
Yeah, they take a couple minutes to calm down.
It's, you know, it's like, but that's, you know, where I've paid to watch the person on stage orate. I've not paid
to listen to
you talk about your kids' dental issues.
Well, and what bothers me even more, to add insult to injury, I am sure that today 90% of our audiences do not realize that the overture is part of the theatrical performance.
It's not walk-in music.
No, and it's not music that was made so that you would have to talk louder to get over the
Exactly right.
Oh, my Lord. I sat behind two ladies once that were doing that, and I almost took their little heads and just knocked them together. They really thought that the orchestra was playing just so to drive them into silence. And it never did. They just kept talking louder and louder and louder. No.
Yeah, the overture is it's designed specifically to introduce the themes of the show.
Right.
And I think you get kind of you start wondering if it's maybe necessary for us to go back to have sort of audience etiquette classes or something, or audience etiquette, because
you could put them in the program if you have
could.
You could like. Know that the overture is a part of the performance and the production, you know, stuff like that.
Which would be, for the people who know are kind of wondering why you're telling them that, but a lot of people who don't. But I used to know a fellow who was a magician and did everything from birthday parties to other kinds of performances.
Could he make those people disappear?
Well, he when he was with kids, he would do he would give them a short lesson in etiquette. As an audience member, what you do as an audience, that you clap when you like something, you do this, you listen when things are going on up here so that you don't miss the fun stuff. I mean, it was dumbed down. I don't say dumbed down, but it was aimed at children to teach them what is appropriate in an audience and how you interact with the performer. And I think that there's a certain I think some adults need some of that. You know, they need to know what a play is, what the structure of a play is, and what it is like. A lot of people don't go to plays that much to understand that. I think. Mm-hmm.
Well, and as John said before, it's the whole television mentality. You know, why should you be quiet? You can just get up and get your popcorn and get your drink and talk to your friends, and who cares? You know what's going on in the screen.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why it's gotten so out of hand.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, there are a lot of people also. I mean, we're encouraging as many people to come to the theater as possible. We want people in the seats.
Sure.
We want people to enjoy it. And so there used to be, I think, a real almost I shouldn't say it, but there was kind of a snooty quality about going to the theater. You got all dressed up. You went to the theater.
I don't think that's being snooty.
Well, no, but
it's making theater a special occasion.
Right.
Which it used to be. And now, you can walk in with your thongs and your Bermuda shorts and your tacky looking shirt. And there you are. Wow.
But it's kind of like church, though. I'm still glad that people are wanting to come see it. So I agree. How do we teach, though? How do we teach that etiquette to people who maybe are new to the theater, who haven't been brought up to see shows, but they've come to see a play?
I really think you can have a rule of 10 and put it in the program, print it out, and put it on the wall in the lobby.
We could do a PowerPoint presentation during the beginning of when people are coming into the auditorium.
There you go.
And intersperse it with advertising.
Where would you PowerPoint it?
Well, it'd have to be designed into the show somehow. So
this is rude. This is not. They do that at the movie theaters. They have they show a rude person talking on her phone during.
Oh, really?
The show
I haven't been to the movies in so long.
Yeah.
And I used to go 2 and 3 times a week. Well, I mean, that's why I don't, because people are rude and they make noise. They talk. Bad. I'm getting started on this now, and
my point is, I think that it like a lot of things, I think it does kind of start with kind of being brought up with it. When I was a kid, we used to go to my mother would take us to see the symphony, which we have a local symphony here. Even as young boys, we wore coat and tie to go to the symphony, and it was like. Yeah, and really everybody did pretty much.
Yeah,
but you don't see that.
No, I mean, I used to always dress up to go to the theater, and
Lord.
I don't anymore.
I think what really brought it crashing home to me is that it's not just here where people come in like off the fields or something and walk into the theater. And right. as John says, we're glad that people are going to the theater.
They want to see it, yeah.
Yeah, right. But it's when I was in New York and I was at a matinee, I think, of Annie Get Your Gun with Bernadette Peters and Tom Wopat. And I walked into the ladies' room and there were two women in there and they had on Bermuda shorts and flip-flops. And I'm sure they had paid quite a good sum for their tickets, which probably made them feel like they could wear a bed sheet if they wanted to.
Right.
But it's taking some of the really special thing out of going to a theater, yeah. you know, and whether it's Broadway or Bristol, I don't think it matters. This is a special place.
Right.
And it would be really nice if people dressed accordingly. Well, I know they won't. But and I'm just it,
I think
talking
that the things
to the wind,
the things that we're talking about primarily are the things that actually hurt the performance for
but
the rest
can
of the
hurt
audience.
The performance,
yeah. Right.
And that's really the thing that I'm mostly concerned about. Yes, I would love to see people all dressed up in the theater, but if somebody comes in overalls and is polite and enjoys the show and maybe, you know,
you're right, and is getting something out of it,
that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Overalls. You know, notwithstanding.
If they're clean.
One of my pet peeves is when you've said that a show isn't for children.
Oh.
And people still bring children.
Right.
That
makes
me crazy.
Then they bitch about the content.
Right. They complain about the content or.
Well, that's true.
And it's, or the kid, you know, it's, you kind of expect certain shows if it's kid friendly that you expect that in the audience.
Right.
But there are some shows that are dialogue driven, you know, a play is dialogue driven. And if you have a kid that's running around or sitting there, you know, either playing a game on the cell phone or talking, you know, because they don't know any better and they're too young to
right.
get it. That just can be a real, you know, it's like, why when we've told you, you really shouldn't bring a child to this, did you bring a child?
Yeah, yeah. There's and most of our shows are okay for most audiences, but there are some shows that even if they're not, you know, necessarily adult content, as we normally define that, you get bored with certain shows. I mean, what was it? Like we did Enchanted April recently, which is a great show. There's nothing that would be offensive to a kid in it, particularly.
No,
but a kid would be bored to death in that show.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to use a certain amount of common sense. Of course, we don't allow babies in the auditorium really anymore. We have sort of.
Well, it's a policy, but sometimes people bring them. They don't tell you they're bringing a baby. They just bring the baby.
They're there, and it's hard to turn them away at that point. But that's really not.
Call me next time. I'll turn them away.
Yeah.
I mean, we're very honest with people if they bring a baby. You know, if the baby starts to create a problem in the auditorium, we will ask you to
take the baby out.
Yeah, you can't tolerate that. But
yeah, and most people understand that.
Yeah. Right.
Have you ever been in an audience where someone sings along with the songs with a musical?
Yes.
Shut up, David.
Be
quiet.
You sing along.
Well, if they're going to do shows where I know all the music, it's not my fault. I do. Of course I do.
Oh, God.
When we just went to Forever Plaid at Wagon Wheel, Sandy and I and Mike Yoakum, who's on stage a lot down there. He's a professor at Grace College, and he's a very good actor, and he has a beautiful voice. And they're singing all songs that were mine when I was growing up. Three Coins in the Fountain, and just all this stuff. And I knew them all, and I didn't really realize that I was being audible.
Oh, my gosh.
Not loudly audible.
Oh, okay.
Just audible. I love them.
Yeah. I know a couple of people who
sing loudly.
Don't have any compunction about just joining in.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if they're over the age of three, they shouldn't.
That's true. That's
and I really didn't mean to. It was involuntary.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I once did that at an Arlo Guthrie concert, but just to myself.
Well, if I get too loud, Sandy gives me the elbow, and then I know. Yeah, or if
funny.
I nod off.
That's funny.
I will say I've gone to shows before where I've been listening to the song on stage, and I go, oh. And then I start kind of humming it to myself because I want to hear the right tune.
Oh, I see. You'd rather hear the right song. Okay, I get you.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah,
I've been.
Too bad.
I guess I've been there too. I've not that I've done that, but I've been.
I don't hum out. I don't hum loud. Right, Marcia, we don't do that loud.
No.
All right. So good etiquette. It's behave yourself. If you're an audience member, behave yourself.
Well, and if you're a parent, it's really it's not that hard to teach your kids once you start taking them to theater. It's about
it's good.
You know, I don't see anything wrong with taking kids to theater as fairly young. I mean, as long as they're able to sit still and watch the show. That's why I'm really I'm glad that we do shows for youth that are so that kids don't have to sit for quite such a long period of time, but they still get an exposure to the theater. And then I think it's important for the parent to teach that etiquette before the child even walks into the auditorium. So it's the parent's responsibility. Although I will say, like when we do our melodramas, we always there's an etiquette lesson on stage before each melodrama. You know, this is what is expected out of you, but you don't boo these people because
that's right. That's a different kind of a thing.
You mean for the actors?
No, where you boo and you hiss,
and you cheer,
but that's sort of that corny audience participation melodrama.
Yeah, and that's why we give an etiquette lesson for the melodrama.
Oh, right.
But at the same time, we also tell people you know the music acts are here for your enjoyment. You don't boo them.
Rising stars. Boo them.
You don't boo. You know, that's not appropriate behavior. And so that's something that
suck.
Even if they are not very
do
good.
Do not boo. Throw vegetables.
Do not. Do there not you go. Boo. Fresh.
Fresh.
You need salad.
Only fresh.
You need salad.
No vegetable throwing even.
Okay. Well, I think we beat that to death, so to speak, as don't beat your audience to death. But, you know, if you can teach your audience some etiquette, I don't know. It'd be an interesting way, but they got to start them young.
I like Marcia's idea. Put it in the program. This is what's expected out of you.
This is what's expected.
Yeah.
That's right. Please try to get back to your seat on time.
Oh, geez.
From intermission. I wonder if that would help.
This is from somebody that sits on the end and whose knees are getting bad. So normally now what we just do is we wait till
everybody's in.
Lights start to go down and then we sit. And even then there are people that will have to get across us.
Well,
we just have to
make sure that they are
aware that they're
chastised
to be
appropriately. Anyway, that wraps up this episode of Theater Geeks. Remember that you can listen to Theater Geeks at our website, theatergeeks.com, on iTunes, Stitcher On Demand Radio, TuneIn Radio, and of course the Blueberry Network at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no e's.com, and or your favorite podcatcher app. You can also subscribe to our little newsletter, which basically will announce to you whenever there's a new episode. If you don't have like an iPod or something that you listen to podcasts with but prefer to listen on the website, we can send you an email whenever a new episode comes out, but please sign up for it. It's real easy to see because there's a little thing that pops up and asks you to sign up for the newsletter. We are going to be having our live episode November 9th. We are going to be playing everybody's favorite game show, I Know, which is all kinds of fun quiz stuff about theater, and we'll have special guests to be announced. And it will
be coffee, juice, and some very fattening pastries.
That's right. So if you're in the northern Indiana area, then you can plan to come on in. There will be some information about this on the Elkhart Civic Theater website coming soon at elkhartcivictheater.org, for whom all the proceeds will go. Be sure to stop by our online store where you can stock up on all your geek gear, such as hats, cups, mugs, teddy bears, t-shirts, sweatshirts, and all sorts of imprinted items.
Beer steins.
I'm going to check that out.
That may be my favorite.
Marcia's favorite.
Underwear.
Marcia likes the underwear.
No, I don't.
We have finally converted her.
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
I like the teddy bears and the mugs. The coffee mugs.
Actually, the mugs are pretty.
Coffee mugs are great.
They are pretty good. They got small, medium. Well, no, they got kind of like a medium, a large, and then the stein. And then there are also like water. If you like anything to drink out of, they've got like
water bottles,
and there's like a ceramic coffee mug, like a Go Cup, like one of those Go Cup things where you can have it in your car.
Wow. All I know as a testimonial, the other day I had some cold coffee left over from breakfast, so I put it in my Theater Geeks coffee mug, put it in the microwave, and set it for what I thought was like a minute and a half. Turned out it was like
15 minutes.
And I'm doing other things, and all of a sudden I thought, what is that? The coffee literally boiled up and all over my microwave, and it did not crack my Theater Geeks mug.
So it's microwave
safe. It's microwave proof.
There you go. All right. Well, that wraps it up. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.